Amen. Thank you, Craig and Patty. What a blessing. That was good. I couldn't help but notice verse 43, and I thought about all of us after the picnic yesterday, and boy, did we have a good time yesterday. But the thing we have in common with the King of Israel, it says King of Israel went to his house heavy. And that's pretty much how I felt yesterday after the picnic. It wasn't so much the meal, it was the before the meal. You get around the cooker, and, you know, as the pastor, I had to test, make sure all the food was right. I was taking a chance for everyone. I did that for all the folks. Make sure that nothing was poisonous, nothing was cooked wrong or anything like that. So I did take a chance along with several other people. And anyway, that snacking will get you in trouble, but I'm not preaching about that. In fact, we'll avoid that. Gluttony and all, we'll talk about that another time. Never after a church picnic do you talk about gluttony. Amen. But I didn't see anybody being gluttonous at all. Well, I didn't look. You just don't do that. But anyway, I do want to talk to you about this passage of Scripture. I think it's an interesting passage of Scripture, and I like it. The preacher here, it's amazing what God's men of God did in especially Old Testament times. And literally, I mean, he wants to get beat up, and because he's going to teach the king something. And so I kind of like that, and I want my assistants to do those kinds of things, and not the pastor, no, not to me, to yourself. But anyway, let's have a word of prayer. Thank you so much, Lord, for a good spirit this morning. Thank you for a great time yesterday, and thank you for our church and how we can gather and serve you. And Lord, we can gather at the table this morning and be fed from the Word of God so that we can do something for you. Please challenge us today and speak to our hearts. And then I pray, Lord, if there's anyone here who's not saved, Lord, I pray they would get saved today. What a blessing it'd be for someone to trust Christ as Savior this morning. So please speak to our hearts. Give us what we need, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And the man of God here is telling the story to the king. And he has a story to tell, but before that he had to get prepared to tell the story. He had to kind of disguise himself. So it starts off, and this preacher, the certain man of the sons of the prophets, he said unto his neighbor in the word of the Lord, "Smite me, I pray thee." And so he's saying, "Punch me, hit me." And you know, it's just amazing. But he had a reason for that, and it was the Lord's will. And the fellow refused. He said, "I'm not going to hit the man of God." Which, by the way, that is a good practice under other circumstances, all right? So let's avoid that. But in this circumstance, the man of God said, "Well, you're going to get eaten by a lion, or you're going to be slain by a lion." And sure enough, because he would not obey God and hit the man of God, the lion came and slew him. But then he found another fella, somebody that probably was already a little disgruntled anyway, and maybe didn't like him or something. But anyway, this guy had no problem. He said, "Smite me." Now, maybe the guy heard about the lion. I don't know. But boy, immediately the man smote him so that in smiting he wounded him. So he hit him pretty hard. I mean, he wounded this guy. So now the preacher's wounded. And he disguises himself with ashes upon his face. And so he looks like he's been in a fight. And looks like he's been wounded in the fight, and you know, like he's been to battle, because that was all part of the story. And so when the king passed by, the king of Israel, he cries to the king, and so he's trying to get the king's attention. He's going to teach him a lesson. And he said that he went out to the battle, and a man turned aside and brought a man unto me, and this man happened to be a prisoner. And he said, "This man told me to guard this man, to keep this man." And he said, "If by any means he's missing, then shall thy life be for his life, or else thou shalt pay a talent of silver." And here's where our text comes from in verse 40. It says, "And as thy servant," he's telling this about himself. He says, as I was busy here and there, he was gone. The prisoner was gone. The prisoner escaped. The prisoner got away. And notice the king, he's thinking about this, and the king, you know, he says, "You've decided your own fate, your life for his life. You let him get away. You were busy doing things you weren't supposed to do. You were busy and not watching the prisoner. You let an opportunity slip through your hands. You're guilty, and you're going to be punished accordingly." Well, the man of God then Bible says he went away and he took the ashes away from his face. And then the king of Israel knew he was a preacher. And he knew that the preacher was going to tell him something. By the way, preachers do that. And the Bible says, thus saith the Lord, because thou hast let go out of thy hand a man whom I appointed to utter destruction, therefore thy life shall go for his life, and thy people for his people. And the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased, and came to Samaria. And of course, the story here is the story of how the king of Israel, King Ahab, had allowed Ben-Hadad, who was a wicked enemy of the children of Israel, and how that God had made it very clear that Ben-Hadad was to be killed, and he was to be eliminated. And the king of Israel had this great opportunity. He had him as a prisoner, but somehow he not only lets him go, but he makes a covenant with him. He joins up with him, and instead of doing what God said to do, he lets the opportunity go, and the prisoner was gone. And he blew it. And that's exactly what God's man is trying to tell him. And instead of doing what God said, he made a covenant with Ben-Hadad, and could have stopped him, could have defeated him, could have obeyed God, and now Ahab would have to pay. Obviously, the indication here is, you know, Ahab, you're busy doing things you shouldn't have been doing. Obviously, saying you're busy here and there. Obviously, saying you're involved in things that you know, instead of what you were supposed to be doing. You were supposed to take care of the prisoner. You were supposed to guard the prisoner. You were supposed to deal with the prisoner. You had a job to do. You had an opportunity to do it. And instead, you were busy in other things, doing other things. You were busy here and there, and you neglected the duty, the job that you were supposed to do. You know, as a Christian, our number one duty is to serve God and glorify God. That is why we're here, to serve God, to glorify God. Our number one duty as Christians is to give God the glory with our lives, serving Him and giving Him all that we have. Well, you'd never know that today. You'd never know that in Christianity. You would never know that in independent fundamental Baptist churches. You would never know that really what we're supposed to be doing, the number one thing, give God glory with our lives, serve God, show the devil, show the world what God can do with somebody who would just yield their life to Him. But the truth of the matter is, we're all kind of busy here and there. We're busy here and there, and we're neglecting that duty to serve God. We're neglecting the duty just like the king did here. We're neglecting the duty just like the king lets the prisoner go when he had an opportunity to do something. You know, we have a great opportunity. And the truth of the matter is, time doesn't have any mercy on us. You know, it just keeps, the old clock, it just keeps ticking. I mean, it just keeps going. You'd love to just kind of stop things every now and then. I would. I'm amazed how fast summer has gone. It just seems like we were just getting out of school, and in reality, I'm making these announcements about starting school. Time, it just keeps going on and just keeps going faster and faster. I still haven't quite figured out how I'm 50 years old. I still remember clearly thinking 50 was old. It's not. I mean, it definitely is not. In fact, I'm not even thinking anything's old anymore. Because it's going to be like tomorrow and I'm going to be there. And honestly, it's amazing the opportunities that we have. And you say, boy, I bet the king of Israel felt pretty stupid. I think we're going to feel pretty bad someday. I think we're going to feel a lot like he must have felt there. Because the opportunities that God gives us, the opportunities that God has put along our path and the opportunities that we have. Honestly, you know, it's sad how we're going to feel someday when we realize that the prisoner's gone. Because time's gone. Because opportunity's gone. Because we had an opportunity and we let it go. And you know, what a sad thing. It's no wonder the Bible says the king of Israel went to his house heavy and displeased. It's no wonder he felt that way. You know, I watch Christians and I see people as they get older, and you have some folks that in their elderly years, they're rejoicing and they know they did what they could with what they had. They know that they took the opportunity and they took advantage of the opportunity and they served God and they did all that they could, and now they're at an age where they cannot do all those things anymore. But they know they did what they could do. And then there's others that say, you know, I wasted my middle age. I hear it all the time. You know, I wasted my youth. You know, I wasted time. I wasted opportunities. I let it go. I wasted an opportunity as a parent. I mean, I hear those kinds of things all the time. And I always go back and I think about King Ahab here. And how he must have felt when that prophet wiped away the ashes from his face and said, you know, King, you're the one that's guilty here. You're the one that let the prisoner go. And it wasn't long, and sure enough, the prisoner was gone. And the opportunity fled. A lot of folks say, well, you know, I go to church. Do you understand going to church is getting fed to do something for God? Going to church is not necessarily the doing something for God. Going to church is getting the energy, getting the power, getting the knowledge, learning and studying and getting fed so you can go out into a world and do something for God. Going to church is a wonderful thing, and I'm thrilled when people come to church. It's a wonderful thing. But if we come to church and then we go out there and do absolutely nothing for the Lord all week long, we've wasted an opportunity. We have sat down and had a meal in Sunday school and in church, and we've heard preaching and we've heard the Word of God and we've read the Word of God, but then we don't go out and give it. And we don't go out and do something for God. We're just like King Ahab. The prisoner's gone. And you know what? It's not long and the prisoner will be gone. And all of a sudden we'll say, where was I? Oh, you were busy here and there. You were busy with other things that just really didn't matter. I mean, you know, we think that our number one duty in life is to make lots of money. Or to be a big shot. Or to somehow have fun all the time. Or maybe to be comfortable. That's not our number one duty. Our number one duty is glorify God and serve Him. That's why we're left behind. You know why when I turned 17 and later trusted Christ as my Savior, why didn't God just take me to heaven? Because He had something for me to do. And it was to bring glory to Him. And it was to serve Him. And you know, I watch the years go by so fast, and I constantly am looking at my life and saying, you know, am I doing what I can do? Am I doing all that I can do? Because I don't want to feel like Ahab felt. I don't want to think that, hey, all of a sudden, it's all gone. And I've done nothing with an opportunity that I had. The prisoner was gone. And you know what? There was nothing Ahab could do about it. He had Ben-Hadad. He had an opportunity to obey God and do what God said, and he blew it. And it wasn't long, and the prisoner was gone. You know, folks, you're going to be amazed. You're going to be amazed how fast. I think about our teenagers, and, you know, they're young, and they think, oh, I got all these years, and, oh, 50 is old. And, you know, they think all kinds of stuff like that. And you're going to be amazed how fast that goes. You're 18 now, and I still remember clearly when I was 14. I couldn't wait to be 16 to get my license. Oh, I mean, that was the number one. It seemed like every day just drug on so slowly. And, you know, school starts, and it seems like every day is just so slow. It is, and my parents would say, oh, you get to be our age, it goes fast. And I'd just look at them like, yeah, sure. Boy, they were right. They were so right. And I remember going to Bible college, you know, I got saved, and I remember thinking, you know, I'm a guy that wasted my high school. I wasted those years. I skipped class. I didn't pay attention in class. I didn't try in class. And literally, I wasted those years. And I remember feeling so foolish that I'd wasted time. Folks, don't waste time. Young people going back to school, don't waste time. Don't waste time, whether it's Berean Baptist Academy, whether it's going to college, whether it's going to the public schools. Do not waste time. Let me just give you some points. And I just wrote down a couple things about this. You know, by the way, do you know God wants us to have fun? God's not against fun. I was thinking about our picnic yesterday, and it was a lot of fun. I was watching several fellas, a group of guys, teenagers, and then old people like Brother Korea. They were out there playing football. And you're paying today, aren't you, brother?
Right.
Yeah, you're all right. Robin, is he all right? Oh, sure. Brother, that's pitiful. We know what that means, don't we? You know, and I'm thinking, well, you know, that it's good, clean fun. I think it was clean. Brother Korea said he scored a couple touchdowns. That couldn't have been clean. But there's nothing wrong with that. God doesn't mind if we have a picnic. God doesn't mind if we have a little fun. But you know what? Fellowship's good, and the Bible's all about fellowship. But somewhere along the line, shouldn't we be serving God? Somewhere along the line, shouldn't we bring glory to God with our lives? Because it isn't going to be long. It'll all be gone. Opportunity will be gone. We have such a great opportunity. I'm fired up. I mean, I am so excited about the opportunities that we have right now. And in our county, and different things that are happening. And I believe God is going to use. But let's not waste it. Let's not waste it. Let's not think that fun is more important. Let's not think that amusement is more important. Let's not get the idea that fellowship is more important. It is important, but it's not the main thing. The main thing is we got an opportunity. Hey, you know, you got Ben Hadad, keep him. You got Ben Hadad, keep him in jail. You got Ben Hadad, execute him. Whatever you do, do what God says to do with the opportunity that you have. You know, it's not long, number one, and your youth is gone. It's not long. And I'm so excited about our young people. I'm excited about these young people and the potential. Hey, folks that are over 50, there's so much potential in here. You look around, you see our young people and they come to church and they come Sunday morning and most of them come Sunday night and most of them come Wednesday night and they're in church and there's so much opportunity. I'm excited about that. I mean, they could do anything. They could be pastors. They could be wives of pastors. They could be Christian school teachers. They could go out on a mission field, do great things for God. They could be the deacons of this church someday. They're going to be the ones driving the buses someday. Boy, that's scary. The thought of that is scary. They're going to be the ones that are going to be reaching Lenawee County someday. And the potential is unbelievable. Don't ruin it, young people. Don't mess up, young people. Because it won't be long. Your youth will be gone. And, you know, I'm telling you, God says to you, remember thy Creator in the days of thy youth. Now, that's not an accident. God said that. In the days of your youth, God says, remember your Creator. That's why when our children, I'm talking about in the nursery, they start hearing about Jesus. That's why in 2 and 3 year old class, they hear about Jesus. That's why we want them to think about their Creator in the days of their youth. That's why that's what everything's all about here. It's about thy Creator, Jesus Christ. We want you to learn about Him. We want you to remember Him. And we want you to serve Him in the days of your youth. Why waste your youth? Why not serve God in your youth? Why not be on a bus route in your youth? Why not work in master clubs and go to master clubs? Why not be involved in your church in your youth? Amen. Boy, it's quiet in here. I'm terrified. Did somebody vote to make this Presbyterian? I mean, I missed the meeting. I don't know, but I think it's still Baptist. It says so out on the wall out here. Amen. I mean, you know, we have great potential as Ahab had, as he had Ben Hadad, just the guy that they wanted. He had him in his as a prisoner, but it wasn't long and the prisoner was gone. And I'm going to tell you something. You've got opportunity, literally, to do anything for God, but it won't be long and your opportunity will be gone. It won't be long. I'm saying, you know, folks, we need to be excited about our young people. And we need to do all that we can for them to take advantage of the opportunities they have. I mean, we have a Christian school over there. We have ministries they can serve in. And we need to be excited about that. You ought to encourage our teenagers. You know, I wouldn't give a dime for anybody that'll criticize a teenager, but you won't pray for them. I'm serious. It's easy to criticize them. They do weird stuff. They really do. They're odd. 7th and 8th graders are bizarre. Now, I'm serious about that. I can't believe I ever was that, but I was. Amen. You're looking at me funny today. But if you cannot pray for them, because it ain't going to be long and they're going to be 9th and 10th graders. And it won't be long, they'll be 11th and 12th graders. And it won't be long and they'll be graduated. And it won't be long and they'll have families. And I'm telling you, there's an opportunity here to do something with them. And young people, there's an opportunity for you to do something. And parents, you know, I'm telling you, teach your kids to serve God. Teach them that that is the most important thing. I mean, it's hard when you don't do it. So you ought to do it. And let your kids watch and be excited about that very thing. Amen. Boy, it's quiet. So quiet. Scares me. I mean, just like the prisoner being gone, all of a sudden their youth is gone. You've said it. You've said it. I remember when they were little, they were so cute. And now they're in 8th grade. Different, isn't it? It's different, isn't it? I mean, they were, you know, when they were running around here, little 5-6-year-olds, you know, oh, they're so cute. And now they're in 8th grade. Oh, yeah. 9th grade. Oh. Isn't that something? But, you know, let's take advantage of their youth. Let's teach them. Let's train them. Let's be good examples. I love what happened at the Hammond Conference. And many of these young people found an Elijah. They said, I'm going to be an Elisha to an Elijah. And I'm going to watch them. And I'm going to follow them. And you say, well, you ought not follow people. Well, you got them following baseball players and basketball players and worldly, ungodly rock stars and everything else. I think it'd be better to follow somebody that's trying to do something for God. Amen. I mean, seriously, you got them following the worldly crowd and they got their posters up. Bless God, get a poster of Kelvin Cook and put that on your wall. Amen. I mean, he just was there. Yeah, Brother Cook's posing right after the service. But anyway, oh, I'll tell you, I hope you have a tall wall. But, parents, you know, the grandparents in here really know. You know, it's not long. I mean, you were rocking them in a rocking chair, and now they're 18, and it just happened so fast. And it just happened. I mean, it is unbelievable. That's why you got to do everything you can. Everything you possibly can to get them serving the Lord. Because you have an opportunity. We have an opportunity, Berean Baptist Church, to help these young people. Because it won't be long. Their youth will be gone. I'm amazed at people. They'll say, yeah, oh, so-and-so, there's so-and-so in the paper going to jail. They used to come here. And I think, how can you be so flippant about that? Because you know what that means? That means we failed. If they ever sat in this auditorium, we failed. Well, they made up their own mind. I listen to me. We need to do everything we can to help them. Because it's our opportunity. It's our opportunity. Parents, you've got an opportunity. You say, well, listen. Are they coming at 5 o'clock tonight? I don't know what could be on television more important than them coming to their teen meeting. It is a teen meeting. That is why it takes place. It is for teenagers. And you got something else going on? Well, they don't want to come. Do you let them make all the decisions? Do you let them make all your decisions? Or do you ever tell them no? Form the word on your lips. No. Or do you? Yes. Yes, go to the team meeting. You're going. Try that sometime. Hey, try growing a backbone. Not a bad idea. I'm just saying, it's a team meeting for teenagers. Well, you know, we don't want to force our kids to make religious decisions. You force them to make other decisions. Otherwise, why don't you let your 10-year-old drive your car? Let your 10-year-old paint your house. Well, preacher, that's ridiculous. It's more ridiculous that you have an opportunity and you're not taking advantage of it. That is ridiculous to me. Huh? Hey, young people, serve God now. Well, you say, I'm busy. I got other things going on. And it's a waste, those other things. How sad it is that we have so many that can play a stupid video game. And you could get to the 29th level. But you've never told a soul how to go to heaven. Go ahead and be quiet. I'll go ahead and make enough noise for all of us. It's sad. I mean, you know, a girl could do a cartwheel. Whoopee! But doesn't know a thing about running, being on a bus route and helping serve God. That's sad. You know, one of these days they're going to be gone. And you'll be the first one to criticize them because they're living in the world. But they started living in the world under our ministry because we let the opportunity slip. Amen. Why don't you be friends with these teenagers, adults? Why don't you thank them for coming and welcome them instead of looking at them funny? Huh? Well, you know, the quietness is just firing me up. I just added 5 minutes to the message. Yeah. So Tim says, amen. Get me out of here. But, you know, we all know this. We older folks, we know youth is going to be gone. And you know, I remember being young and I was ready to charge hell with a squirt gun. And you know, I just felt good all the time. And I remember that. I don't feel good all the time anymore. I might now charge it with a fire extinguisher. You know, squirt gun is not, you know, and that fire extinguisher is heavy. Amen. But see, our problem is we're busy here and there. And young people, you're going to get busy here and there, and it won't be long, and you'll waste your teen years. Some of you are going to waste this school year, and that's so sad, and I'll get into that first chapel. Amen. You know, Christian, have you done anything for Jesus? I mean, have you done anything for Jesus? Have you trained anybody to take your place? I think about that, Brother Korea. I really do. I think about, are we training people to take our place? What will Berean Baptist Church be like 40 years from now? Hello? Yeah, that 10-year-old will be 50. That 10-year-old, you say, wow, I'm thinking about some of the 10-year-olds in my Sunday school. Yeah. Yeah, they're going to be the leaders. What are we doing? What will Berean Baptist Church be the next rock church? I'm serious. Do you think about that? Or are you kind of saying, well, you know, I've done my thing now and I can just rest and relax. I can't. Because I think about that. I think about Brother Stewart has a nursing home ministry. And I think about, I wonder if anybody would come visit me when I'm in the nursing home. And I don't have any teeth. You ever think about it? Will anybody even care? They're not going to care if we don't teach them to care. And if we don't train them to care. You know, it's amazing. And we'll train young people for sports, and we'll train them for different jobs, and we'll train them in music. And I'm for those things. I'm not against those things. But why don't we train them for Jesus? Amen. Again, that's why we have activities. That's why we have teaching time. That's why we have all those kinds of things. Because you know what? It's going to be like old King Ahab. One of these days we're going to say, well, the prisoner's gone. You let him go. You let an opportunity go by. How sad that is. That's why we have a Christian school, by the way. Did you know that is why we have a Christian school? Train young people to serve God. That's it. That's the main thing. And we throw in English and math and history and science, but the main thing is we're trying to train young people to do something for God. As a deacon someday, as a tither someday. Amen. We're trying to get young people on fire to do something for Jesus Christ. We need help. Because I'll tell you, we're letting opportunities slip. We're letting opportunities go. Because one day, like this prisoner, they're going to be gone. And what are they going to do for Jesus Christ? You know, one of these days, like the prisoner, your middle age is going to be gone. I don't know what middle age is. I haven't figured it out yet. But I threw it in there because we all have our own thoughts as to what middle age is. One of these days, it's going to be gone. You know, again, I talk to people in nursing homes, and there are some that just are praising God. There are others who are saying, I wasted my life. I don't want to look back and say I wasted my life. I don't want to look back and say I was in a good church, but I did nothing. I don't want to look back and say I had a good job, but I gave very little. I don't want to do that. Because one of these days, my opportunity will be gone. One of these days, like the prisoner, there won't be any more opportunities. There won't be any more chances for me to do anything for God. Ahab failed in his opportunity. Only one life 'twill soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. You know, I'm excited that you are doing well in your job. That's great. That's wonderful. But you understand, in heaven, it isn't going to matter. Hello? Well, you moved up in the corporate world. Praise God, that's wonderful. More tithe. Amen. But other than the tithe in heaven, nobody's going to care. No, it isn't going to matter. Well, you know, I became a supervisor, and that's great. And it shows that somebody's entrusted you with that job. But in heaven, that's not going to matter. What's going to matter is, what did we do for Jesus Christ? You know, it doesn't even matter if Berean Baptist Church is big if we're not doing something for Jesus. If souls aren't getting saved, if lives aren't being changed, it doesn't matter. Bigness has never been a big deal in the Bible. Substance has always been a big deal. What are we doing with our opportunity? What are you doing with your age? What are you doing? There's folks in here who they're older now and they can't go knock on the doors anymore. Certainly not in the middle of the winter. They can't run the bus routes. Who's gonna run the bus route? Jim and Shirley Bailey, they've been on a bus route for how many years? 34 years. It's amazing. But one of these days, Jim's going to say, you know what, I'm not sure I can keep doing this. They have indicated that every now and then. And we always just say, oh, you're doing great. God bless you. Go get them, brother. But you know, one of these days, we're going to say that and he's going to punch the preacher. But who's going to do it then? What are we going to do? We're going to do what other churches have done and just say, well, we don't have anybody to run the buses. So I guess we'll just have to close it down. And then somebody will reason and they'll say, you know, it really has cost us a lot of money over the years. And you know, really, it's not that effective. I see Brittany over there. She's one of our kids in Bible college. It's worth it. Oh, it's worth every dime that goes into it. It's worth, I guarantee the Baileys will tell you, 34 years in freezing cold weather, out knocking on doors, out visiting children, out rounding them up, out getting them on a bus. I'll tell you what, they'll tell you it's worth it. It's an opportunity. That's what it is. It's an opportunity to please God. And it's just one of the opportunities at Berean Baptist Church. For people who could do something for God. But you know, one of these days, your middle age will be gone. What'd you do? How'd you use it? What'd you do with it? Will you be like Ahab and, boy, when that time comes, you'll go to your house heavy and displeased because you realize, I did nothing. I did so very, very little. One of these days your youth will be gone. One of these days your middle age will be gone. One of these days your money is going to be gone. Do you know, this, I am going to really encourage everybody here. Your CDs, your savings account, your IRAs, even your Roth IRAs. By the way, if you've watched any of your accounts lately, you can identify with what I'm talking about. Yeah. You know, all of that, do you understand? One of these days, you're going to lose it all. Every bit of it. You say, preacher, are you trying to encourage me? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. You're going to lose it. That little savings account you've been clutching so tightly, you know, and every now and then you're able to add a little bit to it, and you know, you're one of these days you're going to lose it. CDs, $10,000 increments. You got 10 CDs worth $10,000 each. Boy, that's great. Guess what? You're going to lose it. Got a Roth IRA worth a lot of money? You're going to lose it. 501K? You're going to lose it. Preacher, what do you mean I'm going to lose it? You're going to die. Can't take it with you. It's impossible. It doesn't. You can't. The banking, the exchange doesn't work. You change countries, you can exchange. And the dollar's not doing too hot right now, by the way. But you can exchange money. But when you go to heaven, there's no exchange. You don't go to heaven and say, okay, here's my CDs. Can we cash them into heavenly money? You can't do it. Doesn't work. You say, well, preacher, I mean, that's kind of discouraging. I'm a little disappointed. You mean all my collections I have that are worth lots of money, and all the money in the bank I've got that's worth lots of money, and my properties I have that's not worth much in Michigan. All that stuff that I have and I've accumulated all these years, you're telling me I'm losing all of it? You can't exchange it in heaven. Well, what am I going to do? Well, if you're smart, you'll start investing in heaven. I mean, really, that is where we're going to spend most of the time if you're saved. Okay, you spend 80, maybe 90 years here. Notice I'm trying to get you back. You spend 80, maybe 90 years here, and then eternity in heaven. It seems like we might want to start investing in heaven. And that's why God says, lay up your treasures in heaven, where moth and rust doesn't corrupt. Yeah, have you sent anything to heaven? Have you sent anything there? I'm telling you, you know, one of these days your money's going to be gone. Your property's going to all burn up. Your fame will be a flame. And that's it. Money. Preacher was preaching in a black church one time. He said, one Lord, the people said, amen. He said, one faith, the people said, amen. He said, one baptism, the people said, amen. He said, one tenth, and the people said, But you know, I don't want your money today. I just don't want you to steal from God and waste what God's given to you. Why do you suppose you have a job? Not so you can just steal it all and take it for yourself. God wants you to lay up treasure in heaven. He wants you to have something. Why waste this time? Now, I know heaven's wonderful in and of itself, but again, lay up in heaven. Lay up your treasure in heaven. There's so many tightwads anymore. One day, it's all going to be gone. And you're going to sit at a retirement village and have absolutely no fruit to your account. You're going to be sitting on a fat wallet, but no fruit. And you're going to be sitting on a fat wallet that's going to just cause all of your, the people that are think they're going to inherit it all, to fight over it. When you could be laying up some treasures in heaven. Yeah. It's time to forget about buying extras and do something for God. Let me just say this. I'm going to throw this in as a little commercial. You know, Berean Baptist Academy is not an extra. It's an essential. It is about training your children. But we get so busy here and there with so many things that pull on us, so many things that distract us, so many things that keep us from understanding the opportunity God's given us. What an opportunity we have. What an opportunity we have to invest in souls getting saved. We're not, you know, honestly, Berean Baptist Church, that's still what it's all about. His people getting saved. Vacation Bible School, it's about winning people to Christ. The tent and all of that, as far as the fair ministry, it's about winning people to Christ. Reformers Unanimous, it's about getting people saved. The new Spanish ministry we're getting ready to start, it's about winning people to Christ. Bus ministry, that's all it's about, is getting people saved. What an opportunity we have to invest in that. But boy, we get so busy here and there and listening to the propaganda of Satan and his world. So busy listening to that. And pretty soon, we've let opportunity slip right through our fingers. Yeah. And it won't be long and the prisoner will be gone. It'll be too late. And we should have stuck with the duty of bringing glory to our God and serving our God. Yeah, it's not long and our youth is gone. Not long and the Middle Age is gone. Not long and our money's gone. Our opportunity's gone. And then last thing, it's not long and our life is gone. A life God gave us to serve Him. An opportunity to do something. An opportunity to make a difference. An opportunity to please Him. An opportunity to give Him glory. We're so selfish that we wouldn't want to give God the glory with our lives. Well, I want to have fun. I want to play. I want to do my thing. I want to be famous. I want to have money. I want to have fame. And it's all about, what about God? What about giving God glory with our life? Because it won't be long and your life will be. It's appointed unto man once to die. Everybody dies. And it won't be long, and that will happen. And you will have to wonder, what did I do with my life? What really did I do? Did I spend most of my life watching television? Did I spend most of my life amusing myself? What did I do with the life that God gave me? Perhaps you're here today and you've never been saved. Well, I'll tell you, you talk about a waste of a life to not trust Jesus Christ as Savior. To live a life and then die and go to a place called hell. What a terrible thought that is. What a terrible thought. What a waste of an opportunity. And you have an opportunity today to trust Jesus Christ as your Savior. If you're here today and you've never been saved, you've never trusted Christ as Savior, you have the greatest opportunity in the world to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. You need to, number one, realize you're a sinner. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. You need to realize, number two, that because of that sin, the wages of sin is death in a place called hell. But you need to realize, praise God, number three, that Jesus died on the cross to pay for your sin. God commendeth His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. You need to realize, number four, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. You could be saved today. Don't waste the opportunity. You know, are you going to be like Ahab and you know, come to church and have an opportunity, but let it go by? I so clearly remember my first times in church where they preached the gospel. And I remember sitting through the invitation and sweat pouring down my face and my heart beating so fast I thought it was going to beat right out of my chest. Conviction, knowing I was going to hell, knowing I needed to be saved, and then walking out the door saying, "Phew, I got through that." How foolish. How foolish to let an opportunity like that, when Jesus Christ is calling me to be saved, and I'd walk away from that. Would you walk away from that today? If you've never been saved, please, please, whatever you do, you may not like anything else that's been said, but understand, God loves you, and He wants you to be saved today. Please don't walk away lost. Don't leave here without Jesus Christ as Savior. Christian, I ask you again. Maybe you're youth, you're young, you're a teenager. Don't waste your youth. You have an opportunity. Don't let it slip away. Don't be like Ahab and say, you know, I got other things going on that are more important. There is nothing more important than doing what God wants you to do. There is no decision, young person, you'll ever make that is more important than you saying, God, I'm going to do what you say. And starting it now as a youth. You're here today and in your middle ages, I mean, you're in the 20s all the way to the 60s and 70s. You know, you've got opportunity. Are you going to just let it go? You sit here today, and I'm not trying to get anybody to give away their savings or anything, but when is the last time you said, God, what do you want me to do with my money? Oh, I know you talk to the financial advisors and everyone else. I've talked to them too. I've got accountants that say, you shouldn't be giving that much. And I laugh at them. There's people here that do the same. You've got the same kind of accountant. Hey, you can't give all that. Hello. I don't know. I'm doing pretty well. Got plenty to eat. Amen. Don't waste the opportunities God's given you, because you know it won't be long. And somebody will be speaking at your funeral. And you know, they're going to say, oh, they were such a good person. They did all they could. But you up in heaven, you're going to say, no, I think I could have done more. In fact, I could have done a whole lot more. And then you're going to look at Jesus. And I promise you, when we look Him in the eyes, we will wish we would have given Him more. Why not do it now? Okay, Ahab, you've got Ben-Hadad. He is your prisoner. God has told you to deal with him. What are you going to do? Well, I'm just going to let him go. Okay. Then you've decided your own fate. My friend, you've got opportunity in your grasp. Take advantage of the opportunity God's given you. Let's bow our heads, please.